Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It's Monday, the 9th of August. How the flipping heck did that happen? Pete Donaldson with you on the Luke and Pete Show. Luke is still away, so I'm joined by... Who have we got from the Stakhanov Extended Marvel Universe? It's Chris Broad from Abroad in Japan.
I've killed Luke.
We've killed Luke, and now you are back. This is your second appearance on the old Luke and Pete Show. Are you excited? Are you nervous? Are you confused? Are you tired?
You know, absolutely no one else was available when you have to call me and Pete 8,000 miles away on the far side of the world. It must be desperate today.
I sent some microphone equipment to my dad. I was going to have my dad on the show, but it's not arrived yet, so we'll see how that one pans out. So maybe the next show will be me and my dad having a chat for half an hour.
That'd be good. Have you ever done that? Have you ever had him in a show before?
We've had him on a couple of shows. He's quite nervous about it just because he doesn't want people knowing where he lives, etc. But, I mean, people can find you, Dad. People can find you these days. Don't worry about it. Stop being weird, you know.
Presumably somewhere in Hartlepool.
Yeah, I mean, I just think he thinks that someone's going to lay a claim, knowing my dad's checkered past, that someone's going to lay a claim to my dad's 100 grand Hartlepool mansion that he's got, that will no doubt be sold to look after my mum in her dotage. So, yeah,
bless him.
She knows full well how this is going to work. We're not going to be inheriting anything by the end of that, so don't worry about it, you big idiot.
What a legend. What a
so,
great man.
Yes, we've had Vish, Vatushin Andraja from the Football Ramble. He's been in Tokyo for the Olympics reporting on... Well, what I like about the Olympics, Chris, is that like it's kind of like a grab bag of like... It's like omakase. It's like the chef's choice. It's like it's like a tasting menu of sporting events. It's just kind of like, one day you'd be watching cycling, then it's fencing, then it's... You know, skateboarding, then it's like hurling. I don't know whether hurling's in the Olympics, but either way, I never get into the Olympics until the Olympics are on, and I'm like, oh, I understand why this is cool, because it's a different event every single time. Have you managed to watch any of it? Because at the end of the day, you are in Japan, you're on the right time zone,
absolutely,
so you should be able to have consumed some of it at least.
I have watched only a 5-second clip of the opening ceremony where there was a cool display with drones, and that is about it. And I feel Chris. A sense of guilt, but then I don't have a TV, and that is how you watch the Olympics, isn't it? TV.
You don't have a TV. What is the TV licensing situation in Japan? Because does NHK, the national broadcaster, very much like our BBC, is there a TV license sort of situation in the land of the rising TV licenses?
Yeah, there is. I think you've got to pay like 120 quid a year, but it's really weird. It's like the BBC in the sense that a lot of people don't pay it. So what happens is once you plugged in the TV, every now and then you'll hear a knock on the door and it'll be the NHK man or woman, mainly men though.
Right.
And they'll try and pry their way in to see if you've got a TV. And if you've got a TV, you typically have to pay it, whether you've got it plugged in or not. And I always go, no Japanese, understando. No, I have to go now. Bye-bye.
Foreigners get away with so much bullshit in Japan. It's a disgrace.
It is. And I'm just as bad as anyone. But no, it's ridiculous. Like, I don't watch TV. I think if I did watch TV, I would be ethical. I might pay it. I might pay the fee. But until that day, I do have a TV, Japanese. To be clear. I do have a TV. It's just not plugged into the aerial. So I don't
the thing is, Chris, like the thing with Japanese houses is that they're really small. So from the front door, the TV licensed NHK man can probably sort of go.
He probably can
see from the doorway that you're clearly watching Match of the Day or whatever the Japanese equivalent is.
I keep the door very. So if when I open it, it's very very short distance. They're not coming in. They're not seeing the TV, and I'm not paying the NHK fee. But no, right. I do feel a sense of guilt for not watching the Olympics. Obviously, it's been a big part of my entire 9 years in Japan. Like every minute of every day for the last 9 years.
Yeah.
All I've heard is, "Oh, the Olympics are coming. Oh, the Olympics are coming. Oh, COVID's ruined it, but we still got it on, and it's delayed another year, and now it's on." But I think it went well. From what I understand, it's gone well though, and there was a lot of people weren't happy about the Olympics before the Olympics. Mm. Most people didn't want it. But I think now it's over and done with. Most people are kind of just glad that it took place, given that it cost an awful lot of money and they nearly lost it all.
Any update? There was a man who was on hunger strike outside. I think some stadium. He was it all got a bit Fathers for Justice sort of thing where dads who didn't have rights to his to access his kids. He was appealing to the French premier, during the Olympics because he knew that the eyes of the world will be on him, and he was conducting. I think he chained himself to one of the stadiums and he was refusing to eat food until he had access to his kids. Any further news on that? Has it just all gone a bit quiet?
I haven't really kept up on what happened there. I do know it that news story like overshadowed the Olympics before it was taking place.
Really, right.
You know, in Japan, when you get divorced or break up, the mother always has custody. It's not like a split custody thing unless you get the mother to cooperate. In that case, I think his wife took his kid away from him. He didn't see his kids since, and it's a big problem, like abductions for people who are in mixed relationships with a Japanese man or woman. They often just whisk them away back to Japan. They don't get to see him again. And so he was contesting that his wife had taken his kid away from him. And a lot of Japanese parents actually supported him and sort of traveled from across the country to cheer him on and sort of talk to him and tell their stories, because it's also happened to them as well. A lot of Japanese fathers have had their kids abducted and taken away, and they haven't seen them either. So, yeah, it was a pretty big issue that it brought light to it. Whether it's going to have any changes or impact remains to be seen, though. I'm not overly optimistic, unfortunately.
Well, it was quite interesting getting, because, I absolutely bummed Japan, love that place. And we had Vish on the show, and he's kind of like been ferried back and forth from his hotel to wherever he was, like the kind of like the big hall, he says, in Tokyo. And it was quite interesting to sort of get his take on like the 7-Elevens, because that was the only sort of bit of the pie he was allowed to enjoy. He just texted us like earlier on today sort of saying, I really wish I'd been able to experience a bit more of it, because he just didn't have the time. Or energy, to be honest, after covering about a million different Olympic events in Japan. And so, I really wanted him to, like in the 7-Eleven, we talk a lot on the show, or we have recently for some bloody reason, about, in like shitty shops in the UK, your kind of pound shops, you will occasionally get like a little cardboard cutout of a policeman stuck to the window at the front door. Basically saying, we prosecute shoplifters, we've got our eye on you, et cetera, et cetera. And apparently it does have a weird psychological effect on shrinkage or shoplifting. It doesn't happen quite as often in stores that have those cardboard cutouts of policemen, which is hilarious. But the crime detection sort of technique in the convenience stores in Japan are those little orange balls. Chris,
you love those.
I love those little orange balls, little glass spheres filled with luminous orange paint, and they are always behind the till in these Japanese convenience stores. And if someone steals something, you're supposed to pick up these orange inky balls and you're meant to throw it at the feet of the aggressor, the feet of the shoplifter, and they get covered in this indelible orange ink, which is you just cannot wash it off for love nor money.
Take your shoes off and chuck them in the bin.
And then you're able to get fingered at a later date that you've been stealing from a shop. I just I want to live my life to a ripe old age and then go to Japan and then just grab one of those balls and bite into it. Just bite into the glass and the plastic and the ink and, it would like a forbidden apple.
I thought you were going to come to Japan as in your old age and commit robbery.
Do shopping.
And then see if you could play an exciting game of dodgeball and dodge the ball. Like, how many people...
Yes.
Realistically, you've got to make a quick snap judgment. If you think someone's stolen something, right, and they're edging the way towards the door, you've got to be like, shit, I've got to throw the ball now. It's now or never. Because once they're out the door, you're not going to chase them down the street. And
I mean, what are you going to lose? A pack of cigarettes weapon. Or a bottle of booze or something, and then you're going to spend the rest of the day cleaning up ink in your store. It's not a win-win, is it, really?
I feel like it's a pretty flawed device, but I suspect it's more the fear of being struck by the orange bull than the actual ramifications of being struck by the orange bull. I don't know what it's called, though. I need to look it up.
Yeah.
Orangey ball.
Naughty orangey ball.
Well, orange bull in Japanese would be orangey ball, but there's no way it's that.
Oh, is no, orange orangey, is it? Wow.
Orangey.
Is that the Dutch influence?
Orangey,
influence.
And bull, ball. Orangey ball.
Well, that was easy.
Japanese language knowledge in the Leek and Peep Shay. That's what I bring to the party. Orange ball.
Big news, Chris. I don't like to sugarcoat it. Lake Tahoe in America, the officials have closed part of it, Big Lake, one of the biggest in the US, because some chipmunks have tested positive for the plague, the actual
plague.
Oh, fuck the
sake.
Plague. They're closing off half the parking areas, half the visitor center because there's a load of chipmunks with bloody the plague. It's awful, awful.
Can't be much worse than COVID, can it, though? I mean, the COVID's basically the fucking plague anyway.
I think nowadays it can be treated by antibiotics. I just think it's a very really unwelcome development that parts of the US still get the fucking plague through chipmunks and rodentia. It's not right. I don't like it.
It's an infectious bacterial disease that tends to be spread by chipmunks. Crikey.
What? Could you kind of like, you know, you're walking about and, you know, Japan's very health conscious. They've had masks for a lot longer than we've been using them. Would you want to get away with having the plague? How would you disguise the fact that you clearly have the plague? A balaclava? A hat?
I don't fucking... I don't know. I'd probably lock myself in a shed in the mountains of North Japan and just sit there for a week or however long it takes for the plague to disappear. I mean, that's the least of your worries in the Japanese countryside. We've got wild boars that are incredibly violent. Mm. We've got monkeys. We've got bears. Like, I mean, plague is the least of my worries. If I had to choose between chipmunks... You've got centipedes. I mean, if I had to choose between chipmunk with the plague... Or a bear. I'm choosing bear. I'm choosing because I can outrun that.
There was a cool video of a bear. I don't know where it was. I believe it was the US. This big fucking chonky bear walking down the street, walking down this kind of like country path. And this guy was like with like a couple of, younger people in him. And he was just going, "Hello, bear. How are you doing, bear? You okay, bear? Goodbye, bear," as the bear walked past. Because, you know, in the rural Japanese countryside, am I right in saying that bears don't like to be surprised? So that tour guides and people who sort of work out in the sticks in Japan, they carry little bells and they just ring
the bear
it.
Bell.
So
that
the bear bell. So the bear hears something coming from miles away. And so it's not surprised that you turning into their road and just sort of being like, you know, they just don't like to be startled. They're not going to eat you, but they just don't like to be startled.
I mean, there's two kinds of bears in Japan, black bear, brown bear. Black bears are kind of small. They don't eat humans. They'll just mess you up if you surprise them. Just pop out around the corner. Brown bears, they will eat you. They'll eat your face. And there was one recently that took on like an entire military base in Hokkaido, straight out of like a 1980s style horror film. It's like took on a military base. He was shot. I don't think he survived, but brown bears, don't go to Hokkaido. Be vigilant.
Sounds like a character. It probably is a character from bloody Tekken, isn't it? There was a big bear in that game, wasn't there?
There is, And it reminds me of Melon Bear, the iconic mascot character of Hokkaido.
He's disgusting. I hate him so much.
There's like $200 melons, right, in Hokkaido. And the town of Ibari that makes them decided they wanted to make a mascot And what they did is they just got a bear, but it's got a melon for a head with the mouth of a bear. And it's fucking terrifying. And every now and then they like get someone to dress up as Melon Bear and terrorize an entire school. And there's some great videos online of children sitting in a room being terrorized by Melon Bear. It's quality entertainment.
But the worst thing is, like, Melon Bear's, like...
Melon Bear.
Skin, like, his head is... Isn't his head like a melon, but it's kind of peeled so to reveal the red flesh underneath in some pictures, yeah. Some depictions of Melon Bear. It's fucking horrible, Chris. Horrible.
It's horrible. And the origin story is so unimaginative. Apparently, a rogue bear walked into a melon farm, ate some melons because they were so delicious, and then he turned into Melon Bear. It's not exactly Godzilla origin story level, is it? But it's the thought that counts.
Orangey ball.
Melon Bear.
That'll be the next mascot. I'm going to walk into 7-Eleven and just crunch down on those beautiful glassy orbs. Right, we're going to take a short advertorial sojourn at the short break. We'll be back with, all kinds of stuff, to be quite frank. Your news, your emails, your dispatches. We'll see you soon.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking, like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
And we're back with a little bit of Luke and Pete Show. We're talking melons. We are talking, what's his first email about? Sandwiches. Chris, do you mind if I kick things off with Simon's email? He's from Adelaide in Australia.
Sure. Hi, guys. Many moons ago, my sister was moved out of our childhood home. When we moved her wardrobe, we were greeted with a black sandwich firmly stuck halfway up the wall. Oh. I'm not sure an untouched sandwich wrapped in cling wrap would last, but I'd like to assume it may have been there for years. lucky my parents were already planning on painting the room. Kind regards, Simon from Adelaide. Black Sandwich You've... Simon.
I mean, I guess you haven't moved in a little while, but have you, like, when you move house, have you ever sort of found something that you just didn't remember was there, like an old, a dirty toenail collection underneath your bed, or something really unpalatable?
I remember
that you didn't know you had.
I was cleaning out my car once, and I found a McDonald's French fry from like 2 years ago that was perfectly looked like it had been cooked last Tuesday. Like it's creepy. Perfect. It kind of put me off McDonald's for a few weeks before I
tasted exactly the same as well.
I didn't eat it though. I didn't go that far. Right. But like, it's kind of creepy, isn't it? How McDonald's fries are so riddled with chemicals that they can last eternity. I've got to be the last thing on earth.
I mean, I guess even if you cooked it from home, I mean, what is it really? I mean, I guess the oil would insulate it from, so it's cooked. So the carb, like, you know, so it's covered in kind of like a tough outer carbonated shell, and it's oily. So that would presumably kind of restrict it from getting any kind of, you know, enzymes and stuff from the outside. So I'd say anything greasy is probably pretty good to look good for years to come. But it is fascinating that they're like the Mackie D's, Big Macs last for absolutely ages in the wild.
It's a Tom Scott video waiting to happen, isn't it? Investigation into McDonald's food.
I love Tom Scott. He's great.
He's a good lad, isn't he? Some
of his work where he just looks down the lens of a camera and just does a fucking monologue. He is one of the best at that. He is absolutely
king monologue.
He will bash out something like 5 pages of text with technical details, dates, numbers, stats, and he'll do it beautifully while he's just strolling around. He's such an intelligent presenter, and I'm sure he doesn't care whether he's on television or not, but he's the sort of talent that should really be utilized on British television, certainly. I think
he's above British television, Pete. He's Tom
he
Scott
is.
He's exactly. The king of Tom YouTube Scott. And he's got a nice northern voice. I don't know whereabouts he's from, but he's got a lovely accent. It's not
he
as good as yours
has.
Though
No, good. There's another Chris in our parish, and it's Chris who has got in touch on the email, hello@lukepeteshow.com. Evening chaps, your recent chat about cardboard police officers, and we were chatting earlier on the show, reminded me of a local news frenzy from about 10 years ago. To act as a deterrent for wannabe shoplifters, the Sainsbury's local in our village recruited the services of PC Bob. Presumably Bob was a graduate of South Yorkshire Police's cardboard division. It was a cardboard cutout of a policeman. Anyway, within a week of taking up the role, Bob himself was kidnapped. The local press were amused by the distinct irony of the situation. However, a Sainsbury spokesman said, "It is bizarre that someone would want to steal our cardboard copy PC Bob. We got used to having him around and hope he is returned in one piece." Shortly thereafter, images of PC Bob began popping up on Facebook. His kidnappers snapped him with cans of lager and cigarettes, and later at a full-blown house party.
Oh my God.
Bob students. It's just students. Bob never returned to Sainsbury's. I can only assume that he enjoyed his new surroundings too much, or he ran away with the cardboard basket lady from Boots. In 2010, Manchester police said that cardboard police officers had contributed to a 70% decline in shoplifting. Personally, I think their research must have been paper thin. Chris, that is the most succinctly, beautifully written email we've had in about 3 years, I think it's fair to say. It was short, it was succinct, it was precise, it was concise, and it ended with a gag. Look, it's got everything, that email.
It's beautiful. It's a very British story where a crime has been committed, but it's like a fun crime. Like in Japan, there's either no crime or horrendously bad, terrifyingly
stabbings,
awful crime.
Yeah, it's always stabbing.
Yeah, nothing in between.
Yeah.
Like, this is just like, this is the sort of thing I would have done, to be fair. And it's lovely. I think it's wonderful. PC Bob's out there having the time of his life right now, I imagine. Mm. Or he's in a bin somewhere around the back of a B&Q in Chiswick. I don't fucking know. What do you think, though? Where is he?
What do I think? What do you mean, where is he? I mean, he will have got soggy. He will have fallen in a bath. And so he'll be in a situation where, like, we're like, we can't return this. It's in an absolute bloody state. We're not having
definitely
it.
someone came out of a pub / nightclub and we're like, oh, let's take that, lads. God. I miss doing that.
At university and stuff, did you sort of like collect like shite, like bollards and stuff like that? I remember there was a fine collection in our university sort of halls room, like every fucking university halls room. But because they, because the head of, I don't know, the warden or whatever who looks after the building found all of the these warden. collected road signs and stuff in
Shawshank.
in the student common room. They lock the student common room because if you can't be trusted to collect a load of shit, we're going to close down the student common room. Even though nobody really liked the student common room, we just ate in our rooms anyway. The only problem was it had a vending machine in there. I really wanted a lilt at one point, and I broke in. Oh, I got in so much trouble. The head of security at Dunmuffet University was going to throw me out. And I, after only recently having learnt the word diktat in A-level history, he was saying that you have to admit that you broke into the hall common room. And I said, this is a diktat. I'm not signing anything that says it was me. Fuck you, copper. You'll never get me. And he was an ex-copper. So that's why I'm a bad boy for life, Chris. That's why I'm a real original gangster.
You're listening to the criminal exploits of Pete Dunphy.
Exactly.
In a parallel universe, there is like a slightly more villainous Pete Donaldson who went down and descended into a world of crime. And that was the genesis of that moment, stealing things from a common room.
We've got a message, Chris, from another. There's a lot of Chris's on the show this afternoon or this evening, or whenever you're listening to the show. Yeah. I mean, I guess it's evening for you. It's early afternoon for me. Chris says, what's popping, L Luke and L Pete? The battery tinker email search give me an idea for a new feature that will rely on little to no effort from you guys. Brilliant. Each week, you choose a word to search the Luke and Pete email account and read out some snippets of the results. Rehash quality content and we'll bring up some good nostalgic content, plus surely some hilarious new emails that didn't make the cut before. If you want a first word to get started, I would suggest arse. So he wants me to go into the email box and search for the word arse. But what I'm going to do is, Chris, because we don't speak to you every week, can you choose a random word? We've been doing this show for about 3 years now, I think. So there'll be plenty of emails to choose from. Just pick any random word. I will type it in the hello@lukepeteshow.com email box and let's see what emails we get, shall we?
Easy. All right. The word is diktat.
Well, it's not going to be in there, is it? Diktat. No, we don't have any. Oh, God.
Well, you said any word. You said you've been doing this show 500
years.
Any word
that's not diktat.
Oh, I suck the fun out of everything.
That doesn't drum up the breakdown of the Weimar Republic.
The plague.
The plague. Right.
That's going to be in there,
plague,
isn't it?
Plague. So many messages about plague. So many messages.
What
about
diktat? Are you sure there's no diktat?
Diktat's not in there. There's a lot
God
of
damn it.
There's a lot of yeah. Let's have a look. How do I get to the previous one? There we go. Okay, the plague.
When was the last time you spoke about the plague to generate emails or correspondence surrounding the plague?
Well, we used to do this feature called Mencarta, where it was just sort of stories about derring do and adventure on the high seas and beyond. Mark Trent got in touch back in 2017. I'm sure you get plenty of these Mencarta suggestions, but if they're not deemed interesting enough for inclusion in your ever-expanding knowledge base, fair enough. And I believe we've never read any of this out, so there we go. Regina versus Dudley and Stevens, 1884. On the 19th of May, 1884, we're going to end the show with this tale. An English yacht called the Mignonette set sail from Southampton to Sydney. There were four people on board, the captain, Tom Dudley, Edwin Stevens, Edmund Brooks, Richard Parker, the cabin boy as well. The yacht reached the Cape of Good Hope around the 5th of July and hit rough seas. And then the yacht sank within 5 minutes. All four crew members escaped via a lifeboat with two tins of turnips and no fresh water. The lifeboat was around 700 miles away from the nearest land. I mean, is unnecessary. By the 13th of July, the crew had begun to drink their own piss. The turnips lasted until the 15th or 17th of July. In the meantime, the men had managed to catch and eat a sea turtle. It was around the 17th that discussions first took place about who would be sacrificed to sustain the others. Around the 20th of July, Parker became ill through drinking seawater. Never drink the seawater! Never drink it. That's all they always say. Never drink the seawater. Within several days, had fallen into a coma-like condition. By the 25th of July, Dudley, aided by Stevens, took his penknife and put it into Parker's jugular, killing him. Brooks appeared to have been a reluctant bystander. All three men fed upon Parker. Dudley is quoted as saying, "I can assure you, I shall never forget the sight of my two unfortunate companions over that ghastly meal. We all was like mad wolves who should get the most. And for men, fathers of children to commit such a deed, we could not have had our right reason." Well, you wouldn't anyway. The crew were rescued by a German vessel on the 29th of July. They went back to England. They were all very honest about what had happened. And they believed they had common maritime law on their side. But they didn't, and they were both charged with murder, Dudley and Stevens. Despite the court of public opinion siding with the men, Daniel Parker, Richard Parker's eldest brother, forgave Dudley in open court and even shook hands with them. And they were found guilty. They were given the death penalty. The sentence was later reduced to 6 months imprisonment. So that's a pretty good step down from that. But what became of the men afterwards is a bit sketchy. But Brooks returned to sea. Why the hell he did that, I do not know. Stephen settled in Southampton, turned to alcohol, and Dudley emigrated to Australia and seemingly became the first victim of the bubonic plague that hit Sydney in 1900. Whoa. Incredible.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That poor man. What? I don't know if that's good luck, bad luck. Depending on different stages of the story, it's good luck, right? You've survived it, good luck. Bad luck, you're tried for murder, death penalty. Good luck, you get out of it. Yeah. Bad luck, you go to Australia. Good luck, you get to Australia. Bad luck, you get a plague and die.
Yeah, it's not ideal, is it? None of it. But a hell of a story.
Jesus.
Those who have read or seen The Life of Pi will know that the tiger in the story is called Richard Parker. Thank you very much, Mark Trent, for that story that never got read out back in the day. I'm 99% certain it never got read out back in the day. But look, if you are lost at sea, just give it a couple more days, all right? Just don't drink your seawater. Maybe just, you know, make do with a diet of fingernails.
The Pete Donaldson diet. I'm really glad that I selected the words "the plague" for you to search, so we could hear that story, because that is a really good story. Like, if I'd said a word like sandwich, the story would have been really boring. Don't type it in. I had a sandwich yesterday and it was good. Like, that's the level we would have had.
We literally started the email section this week with a story about a young lady who'd left a sandwich behind a cupboard. So that would have been
the kind of
caliber. Yeah, exactly.
We got a riveting action-packed tale of treachery, high seas and the plague. And that was far better than any sandwich-related story we could ever possibly have.
If you're stuck at sea for a month, would you eat a sandwich that had been left behind at a cupboard is the question. Oh, yeah, yeah. Right, let's get out of here. Chris, thank you very much for joining us. Where can people find your YouTube channel to watch you? You've recently put out, or you are very soon going to be putting out a video about Tokyo's most famous modular and only modular apartment building that was designed in the 1970s to be able to sort of swap out apartments willy-nilly, the Nagakin capsule tower. An incredible construction. Give it a Google and watch Chris's YouTube video, which should be coming out tonight or tomorrow or something like that.
Yeah, it'll be out tomorrow. But if you do Google it, make sure you watch my video and not someone else's. exactly. But yeah, Brawn Japan, check it out. But thanks for having me on the show, Pete. It's always a treasure. It's always a pleasure. I'm thinking treasure because we just had a story about a boat and Australia. And when I think Australia, I think treasure.
Yes.
And spiders.
Criminals.
But thank you for having me on. It's been good fun, as always.
No worries. All right, then. Well, I'm sure you'll be on before very long. And do listen to the Bronji Band podcast, one of our fine Stack stable mates. Check that out at stack.london. That's STAK.london. We'll be back for more Luke and Pete Show this Thursday. Only on this channel, the Luke and Pete Show. If you want to get to the show, as always, hello at lukeandpeteshow.com. We actually got through more emails than we usually do. We usually don't have time because we natter on
quite
out loud. So yeah, we'll be back on Thursday. Have a cracking week. Thank you, Chris.
Bye-bye.
The Luke and Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.